Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Father, we thank you for the word, because without the word, Lord, we wouldn't know, have any direction. We wouldn't know where to go. We wouldn't know our left hand from our right hand, as the scripture says so much. So we thank you for the privilege to be able to read your word. But Lord, sometimes we need to know how to understand it. And that's what you bring us here for. So I pray, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would help me to preach the word so that it is understandable, and then we could take it and then be doers of it, as Pastor Marquise has been telling us the last few weeks of his message. What are we doing? So help us to be doers, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said amen. So this is I call this message Popular Myths About Being a Christian. And I have seven of them, and I don't know if I'll get to all seven. It depends on how quickly I get to each one. And I may add some more to next week, but these are the seven that I came up with. So the most popular myth that Christians suffer from is that when I become a Christian, I'm not going to have any problems. How many thought that when they got saved? We all had an inkling that that was the case, right? But let's read a few passages in the Bible that tells us that that's not true. Let's go to John. I'm sorry, I didn't get a chance to put this stuff in the computer, Michael. Let's go to John 16:33. And then we're going to go to 2 Timothy 3:12. So the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33. And it says as follows. These things I have spoken to you, that you may, that in me you may have peace. Everybody say, in me you may have peace. Say it together. In me, you may have peace. But he says, in the world, you will have tribulation. Or that's another word for trouble. Problems. He says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Let's say that together. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That means that even though we're going to have problems as a believer, Jesus gave us the assurance that we could overcome them. You might say, well, Pastor, what happens if we die? Well, we've overcome it, because that's the great overcoming. We no longer, at that point, won't have any more problems. But problems are not come to kill you most of the time. Problems are come to strengthen you. There's an old song that used to say, and I think it was Andre Crouch. He said, if I never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in your word could mean. And see, what happens is a problem puts our faith to the test. Amen? If you don't have any food and you don't have any money, you have to pray and see if Philippians 4:19 is true. Which says what? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But you never know if that works until you have to put it into practice. So problems are not a curse. Problems, unfortunately, problems are a result of the curse. But they're here to strengthen us in our faith. And now let me ask this question. Did Jesus have problems? Of course he did. 12 problems were his disciples that he had to deal with. And then, going to the religious folks, he had problems with them. He had problems with his brothers and sisters. Did you know that? Jesus' brothers, it says in John, is the only book that mentions his brothers and sisters in an activity involving him. And they say, look, if you believe you're the Messiah, go on up and show yourself to the world. Stop hiding. And and it says in a footnote, because they didn't believe in him either. So Jesus had problems, but problems never had Jesus. And we've got to get to the place where the myth of the fact that we don't have any problems is no longer a part of our lives. And stop saying stuff like, why does this always have to happen to me? Because it's not just you. It's how many people are on the planet now? 7 billion. It happens to 7 billion people. It's just different. Amen? So problems are a part of life, but Jesus gave us answers to those problems. And that's the part we need to focus on. You know, and a lot of times people say things like this, I've been doing everything right. I've been praying, I've been fasting, I've been tithing, I've been going to church, I've been witnessing, but it seemed like all of a sudden everything is just going wrong. Have you ever heard somebody give that testimony? Well, what is it designed to do? Huh? It's supposed to strengthen you, but all the testings is designed to stop you from doing those things. If you're fasting, it doesn't want you to fast. It came way up here. If you're praying, he wants to give you a reason not to pray. If you're witnessing, he wants you to give you a reason not to witness. All these things the enemy throws at us are designed to discourage us from doing what we know we're supposed to do. And have you ever gotten to the place where you want to witness to people, but you're afraid to? And everybody's been there. I have. We have to fight through our insecurities when it comes to start telling people about Jesus. That's why many times I say, let's go out on the street and let's go talk to some people. Because if you're afraid, that's where, you got to put them aside because it's coming. You got to be ready for it. The enemy brings problems to discourage us, but God uses problems to strengthen us. And we have to remember that. We can't allow the plan of the enemy to prevail over God's plan. Amen? Let's go to 2 Timothy, 3:12. Let's go there. It says this. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Oh, wait a minute. I thought if you only lived ungodly, you would suffer. No, it says the godly will suffer. And there's no persecution for the ungodly. They're already in tribulation. So they're not going to be pointed out for persecution. You see that? Only the godly will. The world is not mad at the ungodly. The world is mad at the believers. If we could just get rid of the believers, we could have abortion on demand when we wanted it. If we just got rid of the believers, anybody could marry everybody, and we'd all be happy. That's what they try to tell us. If we just got rid of these narrow-minded Christians, a boy could be a girl today, and a boy could be a girl tomorrow, and a boy could be a boy next week. But we could just change like we wanted to change because that's the way we feel today. That's what the world says. So it's all about pointing to the fact that if the believers are going to stand for righteousness, it's going to ruffle some feathers. The Bible says that the light has come and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. So by definition, when we come into the light, we're going to have problems. We're going to have problems with people. We're going to have problems with other religious groups. I mean, just imagine when people, other religions hear that Jesus said, I'm the only way, the only truth, and the only life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Oh, no, you can't say that because there's many roads to heaven. Well, there's not many roads to this place. You got to come one or two ways. You can't come all anyway. I can't go to Tacoma and find myself in Seattle. Sometimes I just scratch my head as at the sheer illogical belief systems that we have. All roads lead to heaven, but we only have one key to our car. How come every key doesn't open your car? And I want my key to open your car. I don't care what you say, my key opens your car. No matter what you say to me, my key works. I can drive your car with my key. And you just look at them as like, is this person lost his mind? You can't drive my car with your key. Yes, I can. And that's what it's like for somebody that demands that he go to heaven without going through Jesus. And like I said, if Jesus wasn't special, he wouldn't have had to suffer like he did. Why would Jesus have to suffer more than Muhammad? If they're the same, how come Muhammad didn't have to die and raise from the dead? If they're the same, how come Buddha didn't have to die and raise from the dead, even though he says he's reincarnated, but we ain't seen him? We haven't seen him. Because Jesus is the only way. He gave his life and raised from the dead. Nobody else has made that claim or even said they could do it. So Jesus has the right to proclaim he is the only way. Amen? But as a believer, we're going to have problems. Our kids are not going to always obey us. Parents, amen. Amen. You guys ain't even got started. You still at the under 10 stage. Wait until they get teenagers and they try to get in your face. And you got to hold everything back to keep from knocking them out. But you love them, but they don't always obey you. That's a problem. It creates problems in your home when your kids are acting up. Trust me, you can't sleep. You're wondering what they're doing. You're worried about them. But you catch yourself when you're a believer and you say, Lord, I did what you told me to do, and all I can do is pray that you keep them until they come to the knowledge that they already know they ought to be believing. That's what you do with rebellious kids. Sometimes you have to kick them out of your house. I know that's not popular anymore. Folks will let the kids tear up the house and tear up everything else, but they're my kids. I don't care. They got to go sometimes. If not for anybody else's sake, but their own. And I used to tell my kids, if you want to do wrong, I'm not going to pay for it. You want to do wrong? You're not going to do what I say? Then you go pay for the things that you want to do, because I'm not going to pay for it. Everybody is going to have problems after they become a believer. It's just inevitable. Amen? So let's get rid of that myth. The second thing, when I become a Christian, people will like me. This is kind of the same thing. Everybody's going to like me because I'm going to be a nice person. Who wouldn't want a nice person like me as a friend? Always happy, always smiling, always praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah, praise God. Oh, it's a wonderful day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice. Who wouldn't want to have a friend like that? But the Bible says that everybody's not going to like you. It says in John 15, 18, and 20. Let's go there real quick. John 15:18-20 says this. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Everybody say, the world hates me. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody on the planet hates you. So let's not get a complex, okay? But when you, and just, if you don't believe me, try this. Just try it. When people are talking about things that are wrong, speak up and see how they attack you. Say, what, we don't want that in here. I mean, what is the only thing they try to ban in school? Huh? Prayer, the Bible, the Ten Commandments. Everything else can go. Everything else is a free-for-all. And I told you what they're trying to do this coming year in school. You guys, I don't, if you don't remember, let me remind you. They're trying to teach, bring this as part of the curriculum, transgendered identity to kindergartners. Now, that's going to help them learn, right? That's going to help them learn to read, write, add, subtract, multiply, and divide. The fact that they can wear a dress today and wear pants tomorrow. And they're trying to do it so you don't know, as their parent, what they're doing. And so that you can't opt out of it. Because most things you can opt out of. Did you guys know that? Most things you can opt out of in school. You don't like what they're teaching? But see, they keep so much stuff under the covers, you have no idea what they're telling your kids. So everybody does not like us. Everybody. The Bible even says some people hate us. And it's not so much they hate God, the God in us. And if we're truly faithful to the God in us, then their hate is directed at us. But Jesus said they hated him first. And that's why they killed him. So people are not, everybody is not going to like us. No matter what we do. But this is the point. This is the point. Let's go to Romans 12:18. The reality is that everybody does not like us. But this is what the scripture says to us as believers. 12:18. It says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. So that means don't you get an attitude because they got an attitude. Don't you hate because they don't like you. The Bible says, what did he say? Love those who hate you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. You have to pray for people that are in, that are lost, that don't understand. Because the enemy has blinded. The Bible clearly says that those that don't believe, their minds are blinded by the devil. They can't see straight. They think we can't see, but it's really them that can't see.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
And the Bible says, as much as it's in you, live peaceably with all men. And then another passage is in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. So these are the things that govern us when people don't like us. It says this, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. Uh-oh. So that means I hate all those. No, that's not what the Bible says. I hate all those sinners. No, you can be disappointed with what they do. And I'll be the first to say I get disappointed with sin, but I don't hate people because I understand the dynamics of sin. Because why? Because I remember I was a sinner. I don't think sometimes the church remembers that we were sinners at one time. We forget. Some of us have been saved. I was listening to this crazy song yesterday. It was he started out talking about some things don't come up except for by fasting and prayer. We know all that scripture, right? And then he gave like four examples in the song about how church folks act up. And then after that, he would say, some don't come out by fasting and prayer. And so he was saying that a 60-year-old saint would judge the people that came in based on what they how they dressed. And her excuse was, I've been here since the church opened. And then the song would go back, some don't go out unless by fasting and prayer. And he would do that, like there's four verses like that. I said, that's the craziest song I've ever heard. Because obviously that's not what that fasting and prayer is, Christian. Now that does tell us that we need to fix our attitudes, but he ain't talking about, that's not a demon. That's just a flat out nasty attitude. And that's something that we need to check. Because the reality is that I remember when I wanted to go to church, I only had one suit when I first started. Now I got many suits. But that's not because I was just trying to get suits to go to church. I got to dress up to go to work sometimes. But I had one suit. And, I don't want to wear the same suit every week. So I tried not to go to church that much. See all the silly things we do because of the way people look at us. So we have to take off the blinder of, or the restriction of, you have to be dressed up in a suit to come to church. Now, that does not mean you have to dress any old way you want to, but you should be welcome in the church even though you dress any old way, because eventually, if you surrender your life to Christ, God will start speaking to you and telling you, okay, you can't wear that. I was talking... We were at the Bible study the other day, and somebody was asking about the dress, how we should dress, and specifically they were asking about a niece of theirs, or I think it was a goddaughter, and how she was dressing in a provocative way. And I said, well, you don't want to advertise what you have because you don't always like the people who answer that ad. Let me repeat that. If you advertise what you have by the way you dress, somebody's going to answer that ad. And it's not always the person you want to answer that ad. Am I right? Come on, let's act like we know what we're talking about here. So don't expose yourself to everybody because you don't want everybody to answer the ad. That's why the Bible talks about only share those kinds of things with your husband and your wife. They'll say, well, what if you're not married? Well, you don't have to advertise. Let them appreciate who you are, not what you got. Yeah. Let me say it again. Let them appreciate who you are because they can see what you got. You don't have to show it to them. They can see it. I mean, come on. You look at a person, you know what they have. You know if somebody's muscular or fat. I mean, you can't hide the belly. You just, it's out there. You can't hide it. Even if you walk around like this, sooner or later, you got to let it out. Are you with me here? And I know I'm being funny, but we don't have to advertise. Show them what you represent before you expose yourself to them. That's male or female. And I know a lot of times the men always talk about the women. It's a male thing. The only difference is men don't have, I mean, most men don't walk around with their shirts off, but they do. Some of them do, especially if they're really, really muscular. But for the most part, it's just you have to be modest. Modesty is not a bad thing. Everybody say that. Modesty is not a bad thing. Sometimes we don't even know what modesty means anymore. Modesty means you're not ashamed of what you have, but you just don't expose everything you have. And I'm not talking about where you have to walk around covered from head to toe either, but just know that every setting, everything is not good. Some things I wear at home, I don't wear outside. Are you guys like that too? Of course, it's getting to be where it's not. Every place I go, I see more and more people walking around in their pajamas. And I'm thinking, how do they walk around, go to the store, sit in their car, and then get into bed with their dirty pajamas on? Why wear pajamas if they're going to get all dirty? But you see it though, right? I saw kids yesterday. All three of them had pajamas on. I said, well, this must be Pajama Saturday for that family. It was, they were at the store and they're walking around in their pajamas and house shoes. I'm thinking, okay, it's 12 o'clock, so it wasn't like it was early, but they just didn't get dressed. But we have to understand that we have to be friendly if we're going to want people to be friends with us. But the reality is that everybody's not going to like us. Everybody's not going to like us, but it should not be because we're nasty. It should not be because we're mean. It should not be because we're uppity and don't want anybody close to us. Amen? All right, one more and then we're going to close. So when we become a Christian, we won't be sick anymore. That's another myth. Now, God will heal us, but in order to heal us, what has to happen? Huh? You got to be sick. He won't be healed if you're not sick. So how can he heal you if you're never sick? Yes, the reality is our bodies, as a result of the fall, are subject to sickness. This is not the way it was created, but the reality is that this is what happens. Now, we have to do everything we can not to become so susceptible to sickness that we're always sick. And you know, we've heard the person that's called a hypochondriac, right? Is that what it is? This person that just always got some illness, walking around with nasal sniffs and tissue all the time. Oh, I feel a fever. Oh, I can't. I need some aspirin. Oh, I'm not feeling. Oh, I got pain. Oh. No, you don't want to be like that. Look, the reality, I've had an ingrown toenail for about 18 months now. And I've been trying, Anna's been trying to fix it for me, and I hadn't let her touch it lately. Not that she's hurt me or anything, but I've been trying to see if I could let it grow out and see if that'll help. And it works for a while, but then it doesn't. Then, yeah, the other day, I was going to preach Thursday. Just walking down the street, and all of a sudden my knee starts hurting. And I it was popping and slipping, and I got back into the car and it was swollen. I mean, really swollen. And I went home and I still hadn't finished riding. I hadn't ridden the bike, so I got on the bike. I rode for an hour and was still swollen. So I put ice on it, and I put ice on it the next day, rode the bike again. It feels better. But the reality is that our bodies are breaking down. You know, the things that happen to me now never happened to me when I was 25. I'm 55 now. And, you know, Anna says, man, you make all that noise getting up. He says, You know, as she calls the old folks noises. You get up out of the seat. I never did that when I was 18. But our bodies are breaking down eventually. This body is not the final resting place for us. But the fact that we're sick is not also an excuse not to believe God to heal our bodies. I believe that God can heal any sickness or disease if we have faith to believe. You might say, well, how come some people don't get healed? I don't know. I'm not God, but I know that he will heal us if we believe him, if we trust him, if we are persistent in seeking his healing. Amen? And sometimes you have to fast and pray to get healed. Sometimes you got to go the second mile to see God move in our bodies. But the reality is our bodies will get sick. We will get tired. And we have to recognize the signals so that we don't get sick. When you get tired, do you go to bed? Most of us don't. Most of us continue on. When you're tired, go to bed. Everybody say, when you're tired, go to bed. Most ailments come because of lack of rest. Did you guys know that? If you don't sleep enough, you can actually get the same symptoms as somebody that's demon possessed. If you stayed awake and never slept, you would start to become crazy. And if you don't believe me, look at the people on the streets. The reason why the homeless suffer is because they haven't slept. They can't sleep. They can't find a peaceful place to sleep. So their minds start playing tricks on them. And because nobody's teaching them, no, that's a mental delusion, they're following delusions. And so they become paranoid. How many homeless people do you know are paranoid? Most of them. Because they can't rest. Rest is one of the most important things that we need to do to take care of our bodies. So don't say, I need is 2 or 3 hours. No, you don't. You need 6 to 8 hours of sleep a day to regenerate your body. You know, this is one thing I learned lately, and I'm closing. I'm getting ready to close. Your pituitary gland, you guys remember that from school, is the thing that keeps your body young. And it only rejuvenates you when you sleep. And it's the thing that burns fat. It's the thing that helps keep your muscles strong. But we're all talking about, oh, I don't need but 2 or 3. It needs 6 to 8 hours to regenerate itself. And you shouldn't be full, meaning haven't eaten, because it won't work because your other parts of your body are digesting your food while you're asleep, which is not what's supposed to happen. That's why the later you eat, the more weight you gain, because your body doesn't have time to burn it. Are you with me here? And I know these are just small things, but all I'm saying is that if we're not careful, we will be sick because of what we do, not just because of what nature does. Amen? But the reality is that Christians will get sick, but God has given us the power to get healed. He said he died by his stripes. We're what? Say it out loud. By his stripes, we are. Say it again. By his stripes, we are healed. And the scripture I had that we get sick was the story in Philippians where Epaphroditus got sick. And Paul said he almost died. But God had mercy on him. And he raised him up. It was Philippians chapter 2, verse 25 through 28. So we're going to get sick, but we don't have to stay sick. Amen? Or let me put it this way. Sickness is going to come, but we don't always have to entertain him. Amen? I mean, let me say this and I'm going to close. Have you ever felt like a cold or something was coming on you? And what do you do to combat it? You know what I do? If I start getting a cold, I drink a whole bunch of water. I drink like 2 quarts of water. Now, most people can't drink like that. But I could take a 32-ouncer and just drink it. And then I'll take another 32-ouncer and just drink it. Just, why do you do that? Because it flushes your system. Yes, you might have to go to the bathroom all of a sudden every 10 to 15 minutes. But it's flushing that. And for whatever reason, it cleans your sinuses. And so, in about a matter of 24 hours, I don't have a cold anymore. Because I recognize things as they come. If I feel my shoulder is, like now, I, you know, normally I work out Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, because my knee was hurting, I said, well, I'm not going to do it. First of all, I ain't getting ready for no game anymore, so I don't have to. You know, I'm just doing this to stay alive. I'm not trying to kill myself. And I said, ain't no need of me trying to do squats and lunges, and my knee is hurt. All I'm going to do is hurt it more. So I rode the bike, because the bike doesn't seem to, for whatever reason, doesn't seem to directly bother the injury. So I may have to do a different exercise to get at it. But my point is, you got to back off when you feel some sickness coming on. So anyway, I'm going to close here. But these are some of the things that we have to understand. These things are coming. People are not going to like us. People are not going to, and we're going to have problems. And sickness is going to come. But we don't have to give in to sickness. We just don't have to. Somebody would say, well, what happens when you have high blood pressure? Just command it to come down. Change what you need to change to get it to stop. What do you need to do to get your blood pressure from being high? Well, stop worrying, first of all. That's the first thing. You say, well, how do you stop worrying, Pastor? Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Lord, I got this. I got that. Well, stop. Lord, you see what I have. And you know what I need. So I give this to you, and I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to put my trust in you. That's how you stop from worrying. The worry is going to come back. You say, nope, I put that in God's hands, and I'm going to let him deal with it. It'll come back. Trust me, it's coming back. But you have to tell it to go. You have to kick these things out. Because if you're not careful, and this is why worry comes at night, to keep you from sleeping. So that the next morning you're like this. And then if he can keep you from sleeping, he's going to break you down spiritually. Physical weakness will affect spiritual weakness. They work together. It's not that you can't be strong and physically weak, but it's hard to be spiritually strong when you're physically weak. Amen. All right, I'm going to close. Let's stand.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.